Turn with me to 9th chapter of the book of Romans this morning. When the Israelite people were led out of Egypt and got out in the desert, they began to holler, "Woe is me." They said, "Lord, why did you bring us out in this desert to die? Things hadn't changed much." Sometimes we ourselves question the wisdom of God. And I believe sometimes it's a trying of God, trying His people. Man has always taken this route also. He either goes about accusing or excusing. Seemed like one of the more prevalent things, and it certainly was in the Apostle Paul's day. People say, "Well, God, you made me this way." And it hadn't let up. All people say, "Well, we're the children of God." And in a certain sense, that's true. He created man. He has allowed man and caused man to populate this world. But all of it has a reason. But man continually, and I believe it is more prevalent today than probably ever before, man continues to question God. Now, one thing that I'm talking about is that he's decided that God is not who he says he is, first place. He just can't be that mean. They've decided that he is a tyrant type of a God. And they're not going to have it that way. They're going to correct it. They want to go back and say, "Well, God, you've made me this way, and you ought to excuse it, since you have." I want to just read 18 through 20 here in the 9th chapter this morning. It's a very familiar scripture, and I never pursued this too far before, I don't think. It said, "Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault?" Why? Because he made me this way. That's the reasoning behind it. Well, you made me this way. It's your will. Now, one thing I'd have you to understand, that man understands that God is sovereign. But he'll try to just excuse it and say, "Well, God couldn't do that to me." Another thing is say, "Well, God takes good people out of the world." Well, it may be so and it may not. Who's the judge? We have a righteous judge that makes those decisions. He's sovereign in all of his decisions. He said, "Why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will?" It seemed to be quite clear that all men really understand this. It is the will of God. He said, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God?" What is man? Just a worm, isn't he? Who are you that would even dare to reply against God or argue with him? "Shall a thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? Now this is Paul's argument, which is sound, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. Certainly, God is sovereign. He can do whatsoever He willeth. Way back I got in trouble about this. Man told me, he said, well, God gave man, every man, an opportunity to be saved. I said, my Bible don't say that. Hath he not made Pharaoh to do what Pharaoh's supposed to do? Hath he not made another man to do what that man is supposed to do? Every man has a calling, whether it be evil or whether it be good. And it's all in the will of God. Ecclesiastes 6th chapter. Verse 10. We'll go back to verse 9. He said, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, that which hath been is named already. It's not something in the future with God. And he said, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. That is an almighty God. And I don't care how long man argues the point with God Almighty, it'll not change his mind one iota. It's set in stone, if you will. It's not going to change. I don't care how well man's argument is. Looking at Job. God asked Job some awful hard questions, and Job couldn't answer them. Until he saw the light. Then he could answer. Back to Paul, who art thou, old man, that replies against God? Isaiah, the 29th chapter. Verse 14, he said, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we agreed? At agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. I am in chapter 28. I couldn't make sense of that a minute. I thought I hadn't got to what I wanted. Verse 29 and verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? And surely that's what man is saying today. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Now, that's kind of where we have come in our day, for sure. You know what they're saying? There isn't any God. He didn't create anything. There's no creator. All these things just happen. Old Earth, Big Bang Theory, it just happened. And man somehow had a little old thing in the sea and he crawled out on the shore. And finally, after millions and millions of years, he become a man. That is man's reason. He's turned things upside down. He made me not. For shall a thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Is it not yet a little thing, a little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? It doesn't matter what man says, does it? Of these rocks, I'll raise me up people. If necessary. That's what I do. I don't care what man's argument is. He'll not get away with it. Sometimes we are. Sometimes we wonder. Jeremiah wondered many times. You look through the book of Jeremiah, for sure, he kept on saying, Lord, why did you tell me to come tell these people? But it was a good lesson for Jeremiah, and it's a good lesson for us to try the word of the Lord to see what he has to say and not argue about it. Lord, thy will be done. That was the frame of mind that Jesus had, and that would be the frame of the mind of the people of God after they tried. Isaiah 45. Verse 9. He said, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd, not with your maker. He said, potsherds of the earth, shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. He said, woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Well, I said to go about accusing or excusing. Well, the reason that I'm this way is because I was born this way. It was my mother's and father's fault. And Lord, you ought not do nothing to me because of that. And they're teaching that from the pulpit today. Every man has an opportunity to just say, well, I believe. And then my question is, like Paul, is just what do you believe? Do you believe that God doesn't have any right to send you to hell? Yeah. He's God, isn't he? That's reading his name is God. He does whatsoever he wills. I'll have mercy on whom I will, and whom I will, I'll pardon. That seems simple enough, doesn't it? But you know what? It won't cause a man to call upon the name of God. It takes the Holy Spirit to convince and convict man that he is just a worm. And he needs some help from higher up. And he won't be arguing with God about it. There won't be any dissension and kicking and trying to get back. It'll be just, let's go ahead. I really don't know where men ever got that to. God just drug them on in. They'll just be happy to come in. Jeremiah, the 15th chapter. Jeremiah, preaching to this people, and I said he had his doubts. And Jeremiah cried, woe is me. 10th verse. Jeremiah said, woe is me. My mother that hath borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole world. Now certainly, that's what the church is today to the world. And that's what Jeremiah is seeing here. The only thing, Jeremiah a little down in dumps. But it isn't going to be but a minute or two God's going to straighten Jeremiah out and remind him of who he is. Hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole world. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury. Yet every one of them doth curse me. But then the Lord reassured Jeremiah. He said, the Lord saith, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Jeremiah, take heart. I'm still going to save me a people. It may look like the whole world is down on me, but I'm still with you. I'm going to save me a remnant. Barely I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well. He's going to build a fort about Jeremiah. In the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Now here is the surety of God in verse 12. He said, shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? No, it's set. It's set. And this is the way it's going to be. And there isn't any argument about it. It's as sure as this. Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price. And for that, for all thy sins, even in all thy borders, and I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. It's going to try you, and it'll finish the work. But it's just as sure as God Himself. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, then. People of Israel, now Jeremiah has been preaching and preaching in all the gates, everywhere, over and over. And these people continue to say the same thing: God is not just. And that's the way the world is. It's not going to turn loose of this argument, even though God has promised. Now, don't get hold of this promise. He's going to destroy that which is evil. He's going to take it out of the way. Verse 18, we could read more here, but we'll start here. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise. Isn't this amazing? This is amazing. These people understood that. You talk about preaching to people and saying, well, just accept Jesus. These folks understood this. They were trying to shut the word off. Didn't want it. So we're going to devise devices against Jeremiah. We're going to get rid of him. That dude ain't doing nothing but stirring up trouble. And that would fit very well in our day as well. That's what they say. You just troublemaker. You're not going to let us be saved? No, I'm not going to have a thing in the world to do with it. You better look and see who God is. For the law shall not perish from the priests, or counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. We just not going to have it. He said, give heed to me. Jeremiah said, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me, or argue, or contentious. He said, shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good of them and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows. Let their men be put to death. Let your young men be slain of the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me, and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me, to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thy anger. I guess what would be good for us, that we would remember who God is. He's sovereign in all his affairs. Don't question God. Continue to say, God, thy will be done. You can argue all day long. You're not going to win that argument. It's not going to do it. The word of God is sure. There's no turning with the Lord. He just goes one way. It's a one-way street with him. He's never going to turn back on his word. His word speaks of his righteousness and his righteous judgment. And that's where we stand in that judgment. Oh, that we might see that he truly is God. People go about nowadays and say, we're going to let Jesus be Lord. It used to didn't bother me too much, and then I think about it, the more it hurts me to think that they would think. Now, this isn't anything but contending with God, you understand. That they would let him be Lord when he is Lord.
Kind of makes me, well, I don't know, kind of makes me ashamed when, in effect, I contend with God over the events of this world and the events of this life. How many times in a day am I made to repent? You know, the reality is that every time that we complain, in essence, we are saying, Lord, why hast thou made me thus? Now again, there's a difference between complaining and seeking for understanding. A lot of things I don't understand, I cry out to God, Lord, what is this all about? Every time I complain against the Lord, it seems like he brings back the 12th chapter of Jeremiah. If thou hast contended with men, you've been weak there, he says, well, how can you contend with horses? If in the peace of Jerusalem you haven't been able to take that, so what will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? In other words, when the enemy really comes. And it makes me again ashamed. But it also makes me just a little bit fearful. Now what will we do? If times really get hard, we're talking about or having, we're being told over and over and over again about how tough times are right now. And And then I go around and I see all the parking lots of the places of pleasure that are literally overflowing. And it makes me wonder, well, just how hard are times? The Lord knows. But may the Lord give us grace. May He give me grace not to contend, but to understand this, that not only will the purpose of God be fulfilled, but it will be fulfilled to the ultimate glory and praise of His name.